Our call to worship today is from Psalm 30. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me.
O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me.
O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol.
Restore me to life from among those knocked down to the pit.
Sing praises to the Lord, O his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name.
Surely the Lord's anger is but for a moment. The Lord's favor is for a lifetime.
Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning.
As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved.
By your favor, O Lord, you had established me as a strong mountain.
You hid your face, I was dismayed.
To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication.
What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit?
Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness?
Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper.
You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have lost my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, that my soul may praise you and not be silent.
O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever.
Today we're going to sing two songs about following Jesus.
There's nothing like seeing kids sing in church, and there's nothing like Bible school songs. I think, Emily, I heard last week you talked about fruits of the Spirit, and the kids brought home the papers, and we weren't able to be here, but I could still recall love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self. Well, what was that, like 12 years ago? So Bible school songs rock for sure. Today's Old Testament reading comes from this 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know I have sent you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. So ends the reading. If the children can please come forward.
All right, guys.
Have a great week, guys, and have a safe 4th.
Our New Testament reading today comes from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work, then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride. For all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel lesson comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 11 and 16 through 20. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide. For the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and all over the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." So ends the reading.
This is the word of God. For we, the people of God, let us say, thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for your good news today through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray that the message today, that you would speak through me, you would speak to our hearts, and that it would change our lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. There's a need for leaders in this time and in our world. And same at the time of Jesus. There was a lot of ministry to be done. There was a big mess to address. but there was a shortage of laborers. We feel that same angst in our culture today, where there's all these problems and big institutional issues, and we're waiting for this next anointed leader to come and lead us to the promised land. The harvest is plentiful. There's all these opportunities, but the laborers are few. And Jesus says, therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send laborers out into the harvest. So we're called, first of all, when we're faced with our world, we're faced with our situation, we're faced with these opportunities for all this ministry, we're called to pray first, to ask the Lord of the harvest. See, the agency in change is God. God knows what needs to happen in order to bring peace and order into the chaos of our world that we live in, to bring us the much-needed rest and shalom and peace that we yearn for in our lives, in our relationships, in our homes, in our work, in our community, in our nation. So we ask the Lord, we pray, and the Lord of the harvest is the one who we pray with faith that he will send out laborers into the harvest, that God will provide for our needs just like he has provided us with the plants that we harvest to eat the food that becomes our daily bread. So too, we pray and ask that the Lord will send out laborers or leaders or disciple makers out into the world to connect people with Jesus Christ. But then Jesus says something really interesting. Right after he says, pray and ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest, what does he say next? He says in verse 3, he says, he gives a command, an imperative. He says, go on your way. See, I am sending you. I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. See, we're not just called to wait on God and to wait for God to bring our next leader. God might be calling us to be that next leader. Jesus turns to his disciples, now 70 of them, not just the 12, but he says, go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. I am sending you as you are, vulnerable, but gifted. Not having everything under control, but being in the control of God. Being subject to the chaos and disorder in this world, but being safe and secure under the great shepherd. God is calling you, each and every one of you, to go out and to be a laborer in his harvest, just as you are, warts and all, past and all, fears, dreams, hopes and all. He's sending you to go out. So when God puts something on our hearts that we feel like needs to change, or we feel like this needs to be addressed, or here's an opportunity for more ministry, or this is a way to grow our church, or these are people in our community who aren't being reached. If God is placing that on our heart, we need to hear Jesus' command to us. Ask. We need to pray about it. To pray and ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. To trust that God will provide the right people for the right ministry, for the right people who are ready and ripe to come to God and to be loved, and to have their physical needs met so that we can help them meet their spiritual needs through Christ. But Jesus also says to go, because he is sending you out like lambs among wolves. See, lambs are subject to the shepherd and the direction of the shepherd, and lambs are going to nibble their way astray from time to time. But the shepherd is right there to lead them home, and if they wander off, the shepherd will even leave the flock to bring the one home and celebrate. See, Jesus says he sends them out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Wolves are carnivores. Wolves are aggressive, and they come in packs, and they attack the weak, Wolves are restless wanderers seeking out their prey. And there are people in our world or even among us, because of the sin in our hearts and the self-deception, that we are restless and we want to seize control of these situations. We might have the best of intentions, but we might end up making it more of a mess because of things unchecked in our hearts. This is why we need to pray and ask the Lord to send them out. But if we feel like God's put this on our hearts, we need to trust that God's going to lead us and that God is going to tame our hearts, that God is going to tame the restlessness with his Holy Spirit and with his word, with the living Christ for us, to know that Jesus has given us his authority. Later on, it says in the story, it says that they rejoiced that even the demons submit to us. And Jesus says, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions, not just the physical, but also the attacks and the antagonism and the name calling and the gossip and the lies and the accusations, the fiery arrows that can prevent us from continuing or making us fearful in our ministry. He says he's given us authority to tread on these and over all the power of the enemy, the power to accuse, the power to create us and them. And he says, nothing will hurt you. He says, nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. See, when God calls us to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, our names are written in heaven. He believes that you can do this. I'm going to be with you. Don't give up. Don't become weary in your well-doing and doing what is right. This call to justice, this call to love, this call to sacrifice in order so that others might live. This is from God. But the interesting thing is when Jesus sends them out, he sends them out empty-handed. He sends them out with all this authority, but with no purse, no bag, only their sandals, no extra shoes. They are completely dependent on God. And dependent on God meeting their needs, not just pie out of the sky, something coming down like manna from heaven, but through the hospitality of their neighbors, the people that they're trying to reach, even the wolves. They're called to go into the wolves' dens and to be people of peace and to give them a chance to be human again, to be dependent on their hospitality. That the people that we go to serve always have something to give, always have something to be a blessing to us as we become a blessing to them. That people have dignity and value in human hospitality. He says, whatever house you enter, say peace to this house. And if anyone there shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. But he says, remain in that same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide. For the laborer deserves to be paid. Don't move from house to house, but whenever you enter a town and people welcome you, when you receive that peace, eat what is set before you. Don't worry about it. This is their way of giving, building relationship. He says, cure the sick who are there. That listen to their hurts. Feel their pain. Allow the Holy Spirit to give you a holy compassion, to be moved into action to help someone. But you can't help someone unless you know what they need help with or how they're hurting. And he says, say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. It's not if you build it, they will come, but it's if you go and you love, they will experience God's love. And God will be there meeting you with his love through them. But he says, in contrast, whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, you go out into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off and protest against you. See, in hospitality in that time, when you came to a place as a journeyman, as a traveler, they were to offer to wash your feet because your feet were filthy. You've been everywhere. But if they don't welcome you, they didn't wash your feet. So just by kicking the dust off your feet, so to speak. You're acknowledging that they didn't have hospitality towards you. But God still loves them and wants to give them the good news, because what does he say to them? He says, yet know this, you're to tell them the same thing. The kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of God has come near. That this good news, we're not to decide and judge who gets to hear the gospel and who doesn't. We're to be sowers of the seed. We sow the seed of the gospel. God's the one who makes it grow. And God knows that these people, whether we realize it or not, are ripe for the harvest. But he says that on that day, it'll be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town. And Sodom was burned to the ground from the sky because of their lack of hospitality. So hospitality is important. So what we learn from this text today is that when we're faced with need, when we're faced with opportunities, when we're faced for a cry for justice, when we're faced with the need for change, when we see people who need the love of God and we want to meet them but we don't know how, or we're waiting on someone to lead us, we're to pray and ask God, the Lord of the harvest, to send out laborers into the harvest and to believe that he will. But also to not be surprised that if you continue to feel that burden on your heart, God might be telling you, go, you, build the bridge, be the bridge, start that relationship, take someone with you, and go into this ministry opportunity. Don't wait for someone else to do it. Step up and step out in faith. And don't feel like you have to have all your ducks in a row before you go. But Jesus sends you out as you are to receive the hospitality and to take things as they come and to remember that God is with you. And that if the Lord of the harvest is sending out laborers in the harvest and he's sending you, then he knows what he's doing. Even if we don't, God does. And that we are to share the good news with anyone. It's not up to us to decide who's worthy of the good news and who's not, because none of us are. We're all sinners who have fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? And that's why we come to experience true heavenly hospitality when we come to this table. Because we are all strangers because of our sin. But yet, Christ has pursued us and found us. He came to earth as the lamb amongst a humanity of wolves trapped in sin and death, that he comes dependent on what God has given him in the authority and the love that he has as the Son of God. And he came and dwelled among us and lived among us and received our hospitality to the point where he was even homeless, completely dependent on the hospitality of others. And these poor people welcomed him with great joy, and he welcomed them, and he welcomes you. Because when we give God the hospitality of crying out, he is the great physician. So his mission is to heal and to set free. So our hospitality for him is when we confess our sin to God and we cry out, I need healed. I need set free. I've been waiting for a savior. And you're it. So come in. Let me serve you. Let me give you all that I am and share my story with you so that you can heal me. And I can go and help others find healing in you. So, may you pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And may you go as a sent laborer out into his harvest, just like a lamb dependent on God for his care and dependent on the hospitality of others. For he is with you, and he will lead you and guide you, because he believes that you are a laborer for his harvest, and he has chosen you. So rejoice that your name is written in heaven with Jesus' name. Amen.